do if you knew you could not fail? How high would you fly? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart? To your beautiful heart.
This audio program is brought to you by Simply Celebrate. Simply Celebrate is a growing community of people helping one another to wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. We invite you to explore our website, simplycelebrate.net, to discover how you can turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life. simplycelebrate.net. You're listening to Lively Conversations, an audio download series we created to introduce you to extraordinary people doing extraordinary things. I'm Tricia Huebner, your host of Lively Conversations, and today I'd like to introduce you to Maya Stein, a writer and self-described poet person living in San Francisco, California. In June of 2005, Maya began sending out an original 10-line poem every Tuesday to a small list of email subscribers. To date, she has written more than 2,500 lines of poetry, and her readership has grown to more than 600 people worldwide. In 2009, Maya began thinking about a dream project, a way for her to get out from the back of her computer screen and meet her poetry readers and fans face to face. However, later that year, everything got put on hold as Maya discovered she had a serious health issue. Luckily, she survived this health scare and fully recovered. But this wake-up call was not lost on Maya, and she got busy and began to make her dream project a reality. Tour de Word was born. Tour de Word is an 8-week, 30-state, traveling poetry project that will bring Maya up close and personal with as many readers of her poetry as possible. On the way, as she travels around the country, she will also be facilitating no-cost writing workshops and participating in other events with the goal of gathering poems from the participants to include in an anthology that she's going to publish when she gets back. Maya launched Tour de Word in September of this year, and so we thought it would be wonderful to join her on the road and hear about how this came to be. We call this lively conversation Driving into Your Dreams, and I think after listening to Maya's story, you'll be inspired to look at your own dormant dreams and maybe projects that you've put on the shelf with new energy. I'm delighted to introduce you to Maya Stein, and I hope you enjoy this lively conversation.
Well, hello, Maya.
Hi, Tricia.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Great. I just want to say, you know, thank you so much for making time for our interview today while you're on the road.
My pleasure.
Yeah. And so where are you talking to us from today?
I am in Spokane, Washington. I just got here yesterday in the late afternoon. I've been on the road for a little over a week. Left from San Francisco on the 7th of September.
That's right. I hear you had a big send-off party.
I did. I had a lot of great support leaving, and I felt like it was a real celebration of the trip and just sort of my diving into this adventure and not really quite knowing what would happen, but so it was a great beginning.
Yeah, and how long are you planning to be on the road?
I will be on the road for about 8 weeks. My last workshop that I've got scheduled is in Salt Lake City on November 4th. So sometime after that, I'm going to be winding my way back to the Bay Area.
Great. So, well, and I want everybody to know we're going to find ways to post your video about the project.
Okay.
And so it has a wonderful map in there. I'll just kind of give everybody a little teaser. It's a fabulous video to watch. It has a map. You can see where Maya's starting. And I don't know if you're doing, are you doing kind of the circular, what it looks like around?
I'm kind of going on the periphery in a way. The map actually on the video is not totally accurate in that it sort of touches on some of the places where I'm going, but the actual route is on the website that I've that I've got, towardaword.com. And I'm going to about 30 states, and I kind of did an estimate of mileage. It's around, I don't know, 8,000 or 9,000 miles in total. So quite a big trip.
Yes, yes. And is anybody with you?
I am by myself.
Oh.
I'm by myself. I've got a GPS device. That's the only voice that I'm usually hearing during my drive.
Turn left here.
It's funny. First of all, I really am enjoying the solitude. I thought that it would be kind of, I mean, and maybe it will become rigorous. I don't know. But this first part of the trip, I'm just like learning how to be with myself, just enjoying my own company, and also the company that I feel like I'm keeping is the surroundings that I'm driving through. In a way, that's sort of the other person in the room. I'm trying to kind of stay really just more connected to the land. I mean, I feel like that's one thing I kind of miss living in San Francisco is it's very urban. And I mean, it's not the most urban city, but it's, you know, there are not a lot of places where you can just be in nature and see nothing else but nature and, you know, be sort of with your own thoughts. And so I'm finding that driving even, I mean, there are times when I just turn off the radio and listen to the sound of the wind blowing on top of my car through my bicycle. this drive actually to Spokane was really, I mean, I've just driven through some really wonderful landscape already, but some of it was just really flat, and it kind of gave me this taste of where I'm headed next, which is through Montana and North Dakota, and there's a kind of stark beauty in that flatness too. So I'm really learning how to see things, just see the beauty of things more clearly.
Yes, and as you go, just, you know, again, trying to not let yourself get too distracted, it sounds like, but really just enjoying the solitude of driving.
Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's also a good, I mean, the rest of the days are actually quite social. I mean, I'm meeting, I'm doing these writing workshops, which are fairly rigorous and that really require my being very present. And I'm writing as well along with the other participants, so I'm kind of pulling on both these muscles. And then, you know, meeting new people. I'm really kind of an introvert by nature, and I kind of do need these drives where I'm just with myself and just to kind of, reboot,
yes.
I think.
Yes, I totally get that.
Yeah.
I'm sure many people listening have a sense for that. We fill our lives up, you know, pretty full.
I feel it's totally it's such a privileged place to be, just to have that space. I've become very fond of my car. I never really thought of it as anything very special, but now it's like my home in a way, my home away from home, and my therapist, and my the space that I retreat to.
Yeah, kind of an extension of you moving down the road in a really tight-knit way.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, and that'll help everybody get why we called the work, the session, you know, drive into your dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that you suggested that, because it just was really what you felt like you began with,
mm-hmm.
which is this, you know, journey into a dream that you've had to put this, you know, I'm sure the idea for the project and going out and doing all this, when did it start, and how long did it take you to put it together?
Well, I've been sort of thinking about it for, I don't know, I can't really remember exactly, but probably about a year, because I've been doing this this email newsletter called 10 Line Tuesday, and it's a 10 line poem I send out every Tuesday to an email subscriber list, and I've been doing that for about 5 years. And about a year ago, I thought, you know, who are some of these people on this list? I mean, they've come to me via other people's blogs or various social networking channels. They're not really people I know. And I mean, in some cases, you know, they're just email addresses. And I thought, you know, it'd be really wonderful to actually make human contact with people that are supporting my work and reading my stuff. And so I thought about it probably a year ago, and I couldn't really quite picture how it would happen. But then in April, this past April, I went through I went through spine surgery, and it was a very scary time. It was about 8 months of kind of not knowing what was going on, and finally it was discovered that I had a tumor on my spine, and luckily ended up being benign and removed, you know, fairly easily. And while I was recuperating, I woke up to this, re-woke up to this dream that I really wanted to do this. And now that I had this kind of medical situation behind me, I felt really freed up to do it. And so the actual forming of the trip happened very quickly. I sent out a letter in May to the email group and said, I'm thinking about taking a trip across, you know, around the country and meeting you and who would be interested. And I got a really overwhelming response back from people saying, yes, please come. I live, you know, I'm in Chicago. I'm in, you know, Atlanta. I'm in, you know, and suddenly I started looking at the map, and it was like a way bigger trip than I originally anticipated. And so I ended up raising money to do this, to do this project, and it really became a project because then the idea of facilitating writing workshops kind of came along with, you know, putting a book together. And it really it almost was like a job. This is, I feel like this is my job for the next 2 months. I'm a writer who's teaching workshops, who's gathering writing, and that's what I'm doing. And it's I don't see it as a vacation. I don't really see it as a road trip. It's not like a, you know, ditch my life kind of thing. This is very much about moving into my life, stepping into this part of me that I've been kind of, you know, not secret about. It's just been very much behind the screen about. And so this is about coming out from behind the screen and living my writing life and really extending it to other people. The way that I really approached this trip is that I just couldn't think about it too much. I'm really not a perfectionist. I have a friend who we went rock climbing once at this indoor gym, and in the rock climbing gym they have these routes that you take. You know, there's certain colored routes, and you're supposed to follow along the routes to get to the top. And, you know, it's sort of like if you're really trying to be a purist about this experience, you know, you follow the route. And when we went rock climbing, I just didn't like some of the handholds. You know, I just decided to go to some of the other routes that were next to the route that I was on, and I would kind of borrow the handholds from those routes until I made it to the top. And, you know, when it came down, she laughed and she said, you know, she goes, I can't believe that you didn't take the route. And I said, well, I'm not a purist, and I feel like the more time we spend trying to really perfect and hone and like come up with the best possible outcomes, you know, it's like we get really distracted from the actual going.
The thing, which is just to kind of go into it and experience it versus try to do it perfectly.
Right. And, you know, already what I'm discovering on this trip is that every day is, like, really an exercise and kind of leaping into some kind of unknown. I mean, I have a map, but I don't really know what I'm going to encounter.
Right.
You know, I have a route, but, you know, sometimes the road is closed, or sometimes there's a detour that sounds interesting. And I think that it is really hard to kind of keep moving with that energy. And it's actually not hard to keep moving with that energy, but I think that we waylay ourselves or we get self-critical if we aren't following the kind of, you know, the pre-designed course that we've set for ourselves. And so I'm a big believer in making mistakes and I have this poem I wrote called The Luxury of Failure, and it really is kind of about that. There's something beautiful about failing, which is that we get to start over again. Mm. And that I mean, and failure, even, and like that word is sort of tinged with negativity. But, you know, if we look at it, it's like, this is just an opportunity to try it again, maybe using different muscles or different tactics or, you know, having different expectations. Then, you know, you just don't know what the outcome will be, really.
Isn't that just, you know, it's so refreshing in terms of thinking about wanting to try something or do something, and
mm-hmm.
again, not that it has to turn out in any particular way
right.
or become what you are.
You don't have to invest everything of who you are into it. I mean, I think this project I'm doing, I mean, it is a kind of, I'm exploring what it's like to move around in the world as somebody who does this sort of thing. I mean, who goes from, you know, state to state, does these workshops. I'm not actually a writing teacher. This is like the whole acting as if thing where, I mean, I've been writing for a long time, but that's not the way that I've been connecting with other people. Mm. So, but when I thought about it, of course, it's like, well, I learned certain things as a writer. I've certainly gone to workshops. I've worked with a lot of, you know, teachers. I have some things to say. I have a practice. I have, I have what I know. And it's not that these workshops are actually not about me teaching writing. This is about me creating exercises where people explore on their own together in the room.
Yeah.
So it's not an instructional, it's not a how to write poetry. It's called, the title of the workshop is called Finding a Way In, a playful investigation into serious writing.
Mm.
And so it's really about playing around. It's short and long form exercises that we share and, you know, read around the room. And it's just like, let's explore what it's like to be writing together.
Right.
Which I felt like I had the background to be able to at least facilitate.
And that's what came to my mind is just being willing to facilitate, to bring this out and
mm-hmm.
allow people to come and
yeah.
experience that. And again, you know, it's such a freeing idea. Because when you set it up as going to teach this, and then you think, oh, I have to learn that, I have to
right.
master this skill,
right.
and again, but there's just a nice sense of how you come to it and how everybody gets to come to it, and
mm-hmm.
and yet there's a method underneath there, you know,
yeah.
for,
no, there
for
absolutely
how people
is.
Explore.
Yeah.
So that's
and,
great.
Yeah, and I mean, and of course the first workshop I did was in L.A. in the beginning of August, and that was a great test run just to see how does it work. I mean, what is it like for me to bring these, bring this experience into a room full of, you know, they were really creative people. It was, you know, it could have been really intimidating. And when I first walked into the room, I thought, wow, what do I have to tell these people? Like, they seem like they've got it together. But they hadn't, you know, they hadn't written together. They didn't know each other necessarily. They, you know, they also had other creative things, you know, that they were visual artists or they, you know, they wrote in a different way or something. And, you know, so the practice of actually sitting down and writing amongst a group and reading to each other and really looking at writing from different angles and being playful with it, not taking it so seriously. I mean, really, this is, I open every workshop by telling people, like, we're not making great art here. You know, the point is not to come out with a finished piece, and we're just practicing.
Right.
And I guess that's how I look at my life. Like, I mean, I know, like, whatever, that whole phrase, like, life is, I don't know, what is that saying, like, life is not a practice run, or, I mean, it's something in that spirit, like, you don't
yeah,
have to
I
do
know,
it over,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
But I think that we're all bumbling our way through. I mean, we're meant to be imperfect. It's meant to be a process. It's so...
Yeah, where did it ever get set up differently? I mean, that's it's funny. I don't know if it's in our, you know, school system, in our kind of education philosophy, if it's just a
mm-hmm.
sense of,
mm-hmm.
you know... It is odd when you start looking at, like, how did that get put into place?
Right. And, you know, there's so many influences. I mean, it's even, like, birth order and,
mm-hmm.
Certainly growing up. And, I mean, I was a very academic child. I wanted to do really well. So I was not a slacker by any means, and this is not about being a slacker, but this, this is about letting yourself find your own way of doing things. And you know, there's obviously all kinds of models and guidelines and guideposts and everything, and those are really helpful because I don't think I'd be where I am as a writer if I hadn't been in school and if I hadn't, you know, had great teachers. And you know, it's not like I was, it's not about anarchy,
right?
It's about kind of working, using those as ingredients to find, you know, your own expression.
So are you saying that when you were younger and when you were a child, that have you always had that aspect to your personality or your nature where you gave yourself permission to, you know, not do it perfect? Or are you saying that you kind of came from more of the roots of
I have a sister who's a year older, and I always thought of her as, when I was growing up, as the one who was artistic and creative and smart. And not that I wasn't, but that she just had better kind of organizational skills around her intelligence. It's not that I didn't think I was, that I had potential or that I was, you know, creative, but that I really allowed her to represent us in that way. I mean, we used to design, you know, when we had friends that had birthdays or whatever, we used to make our own birthday cards, but she was always the one who designed them, and I just signed my name. And even though secretly I knew that, but I secretly had the, you know, the spark of like, wow, I wanted to design that card. And I never really, until, you know, whenever I was probably 12 or 13 or 14, where I started to really recognize my own voice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I just began to just trust myself at some point. I'm surrounded by a lot of really creative people. I mean, they're certainly out there in the world, you know, people doing way, way, way bigger, zanier, you know, really more dazzling things. And I think that, I mean, I was talking with Sherry about this not long ago, but just that it's very easy to get sort of fixated on how well other people are doing and how amazing other people are, and you know, I shouldn't do my thing because you know, it's just not nearly as interesting or not nearly as brave or whatever. I mean, when I even thought about this trip, I was reading some, some long trip to India and Southeast Asia that this couple did. They just dropped, you know, everything, and they sold everything, and they just went for a year to India and Southeast Asia. And I thought, God, that's really brave. You know, by comparison, you know, driving around in my car, like, not so exotic. But it really isn't about outdoing anyone or, you know, trying to be the best or most creative or whatever. It's just like, what's true for me is that, you know, it's really like, I'm just not probably at this moment in my life going to drop everything to go to India. But
well, and as you're saying that, I'm sure some people are thinking, gosh, how would I even drop 8 weeks?
Right.
And I mean, get in my car,
yeah,
and go do what you're doing. So there's all levels.
Yeah,
going
it's all
on
levels,
there, right?
It's all levels. And I'm very lucky in that I'm a freelance writer, and I can just say I'm not available for 2 months. I mean, financially, it was that's one of the reasons I really started looking at how could I really make this work, and that's when the whole fundraising thing started happening, and that was really another whole layer of support that, and really broadening this broadening this experience so other people could get involved and also really get behind it, and to really think of it, I mean, again, think of it as like, this is my job, so how can I do my job better? Well, if I can get some support around that financially, that would be really helpful so that I'm not in debt when I get back. So then, you know, it kind of started this whole line of questioning, well, how would this become a project that people can support? What would be in it for them? You know, it's so important to follow the you have a choice, I think, when presented with these parts of an experience. You can follow the, like, naysaying voice that says that's impractical. And there's no, there's nothing wrong with doing that. I mean, because sometimes it really is impractical at that moment. You know, it's not the right time. Or there's other things that require your attention or whatever it is. But when I actually thought, what is hindering me from going? And there wasn't a really coherent, you know, concrete answer to that. I mean, you could always make one up. You could say, well, it's, you know, I could be working. Like, really, I could be working. I could be pursuing other things. I could, whatever it is. But I think largely because of the experience I had just come out of with the surgery, I really felt like this is the right time. I mean, there's no better time. I don't think there's going to be better time.
Right.
And it was just that. It was kind of getting out of the minutiae of it. I mean, you do have to, I mean, of course you have to be practical, and of course, I mean, I have to, you know, I have to do a lot of things to get ready, but it's just, it was a matter of recognizing where my energy was. Was my energy rooted in the day-to-day? No, it wasn't. It was actually in the sort of wonderful sprawl and kind of curious investigation of, like, what was this trip about, and where was it going to lead me? And, you know,
there's something in just being willing, you know,
right,
to take that first step. And then I think we get supported in all sorts of ways. And
yeah.
I guess the other part of that is you're not sugarcoating it. You know, I'm sure, like you said, there were lots of things to figure out and times where you thought, oh my gosh, how is this ever going to happen? And, you know,
right.
So it's not like, you know, just the magic carpet lays out and you just
skip
along it. But it,
right. There are definitely little moguls, you know. And you can,
there you go, moguls.
And you can, you know, there's different ways to approach them. And I think that they're in some ways they're there to weed, you know, certain things out, either people or, you know, your own kind of roadblocks. I mean, if you can, once you get this practice of, like, okay, I'm that worry or that anxiety or whatever, that roadblock, it didn't actually prevent me from doing this, well, you just, it's, again, it's a kind of practice. So you see that it's not, they're not these crazy hurdles. They're just, I don't know, they're hiccups. They become more hiccups.
Right. And you know, I want to say to people listening, probably the practice aspect of this is really important, because this is a pretty significant project, and it's, you know, 8 weeks, and it's big.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of things that I think about, or I'm sure other people think about doing, that are, you know, small bite size,
yeah,
and that I don't even do. And then you have to think, gosh, why, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so practice on something small. I guess it's the practice of saying yes to yourself in some way of sort of seeing that you get these ideas, you get these inspirations. There are things inside of you that want to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
how do you allow that some space? And
I can give you a great example of something that was, I mean, completely sort of inconsequential, and yet was probably a great practice run for me, which was there were a few months there before I actually, before surgery, but where I was, you know, really just puzzled by what was going on in my body, and I just needed a distraction. It was becoming so, my world was becoming very small, I think, focusing on, you know, this medical mystery, and I don't know how this started, but I started making lip sync videos. I love to sing, but I'm really, you know, afraid of singing in public. But I just, like, picked some of my favorite songs, and I just made these lip sync videos, and I have these little, like, plastic figurines of animals and various things, and they would be my, like, backup singers. And I just found, like, such tremendous joy in doing these videos. I just had this, you know, the camera on my computer, and I would have played the song, and I would lip sync to it. And I'd wear all these different hats and little costumes, And I did this really privately. I mean, I didn't tell anyone about it. But then one day I showed one. I think it was actually to Sherry and two of our other friends, Lori and Kirsten. And they were so, like, delighted by them. I was really embarrassed to show them. But they just, the joy on their faces, like, they thought they were so hilarious. And so what began as a very private, like, this is just me entertaining myself, I actually started posting these on Facebook. And, you know, without really thinking too hard about it, like, okay, this is just me playing around. But the response was really amazing.
Wow.
People that wrote, you know, it brought them a lot of joy. And it was, you know, it really a very low investment. I mean, it was, you know, the investment of perhaps some of my humility, embarrassment. But
okay, you know what I'm going to ask you.
Yeah.
Do these exist out there if people want?
They do.
What do they do to find them?
Let's see. I think if you go on Vimeo.com, Vimeo.com.
Uh-huh.
And I believe if you type in my name, I'll see if I can do it right now. If you type in my name, they should come up.
An example of what you can do when you're inspired and you're passionate and you don't think too hard about how it's all going to happen. You're just willing to make that leap.
Yeah, I thank you. I mean, I think, what is that quote, like, leap and the path will appear or something, whatever that is. I mean, I think that's really true. And I think people genuinely want to help. I mean, it's not about going it alone and blazing this trail. I mean, really, this project, even though I'm the one who's driving and I'm, you know, I'm in the car by myself, but the way that this is coming together is because people are wanting to participate, and it's not just me roaming the country freely, you know, trying to find myself. This is like I actually have destinations, and they wouldn't be there if these people weren't connected. And
well, and I just want to say too, you know, again as I introduced the session, just talking about how you came to do the 10 Line Tuesday and the idea of wanting to write and write poetry and share it and not knowing where it possibly was going to lead. I mean, it you couldn't have known at the time. If somebody would have said to you, you would be doing this tour and it would be, you probably would have looked at them like, what?
Yeah, I mean, that's the wonder of not knowing, you know, because I certainly when I began, I mean, if I had had those big hopes, I think they would have really stopped me. I think that they would have paralyzed the creative impulse because, you know, that first impulse was not about how many people can I get. This is like the original impulse is I want to have a writing practice that I can really maintain. And it started to grow just out of that. It was like a really small, intimate, local sort of thing. And I just fed it, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it began to feed me. And, you know, and other people kind of came to the table. And now, 5 years later, there's almost 650 people now on the on the list. And, you know, it really could have only happened because of the Internet. I mean, I don't know how else I would have reached
Isn't that true?
In
we
Dubai.
Live in a time. yeah, and we live in a time where I think the ability for people to reach out and connect and express themselves and, you know, find ways of connecting to people like you or others that, you know, really want to support living a creative, vital life, you know, just living life.
Yeah.
And that is so much, you know, again, what we're focused on at Simply Celebrate, not only creating things, but connecting people, extraordinary people together.
I think the reason why people have responded to this trip and why I was able to meet those funding goals is because there was something resonant about this idea of really seeing something through, like seeing it through in a different way. You know, this is connecting more personally with people. I think there was that element that really drew a lot of people in, that whole idea of like stepping out from behind the screen, making personal connections, and also, you know, taking kind of the big leap of faith, like, you know, what is it like to, you know, take 2 months and do this? And I know, I mean, I think a lot of people that I've spoken with about this, you know, thought, God, I wish I could do that. And so in some ways they get, I think it is a kind of practice too, to experience it through someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, that's why it's so important to, like, you know, you don't have to be the best. You don't have to be, you know, the only one doing what you're doing. It's actually really important to be inspired by something that someone else is doing. So it can maybe there's some a piece of it that lands on someone else, and they say, "Oh, that part I can do," and that's their germ of an idea.
Absolutely.
That they need. Yeah.
And that's exactly why Sherry and I wanted to interview you and put you forward as this inspiring example. And
well, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the just joyous parts of getting to produce these lively conversations is talking with people like you and just hearing the stories and people's experiences about, you know, their lives and what they're doing and what they long for and how they're inspired and all of that. And I just hope that no matter what anybody might be thinking for themselves, some small dream, big dream, whatever it is inside that they've wanted to do, just take that first step.
Take a little piece of it. I mean, I think, you know, and I'm not someone who's loud about what I do. I mean, I think a lot of the stuff that I've started has been very quiet. And, you know, it doesn't mean that no one will get it. It just might mean it takes longer. There's some people that do things really out there right away and are able to sell that thing or to market it in such a way that more people get it more quickly. But what I guess about doing something slow and that whole like turtle in the hare race is that, you know, I think that when you do something more slowly and kind of patiently, then you really give it a kind of care. And you develop a relationship to it that will last. I mean, because you really have made an investment. I mean, that's how I feel about my writing, is that I know I will always write. If nothing else happens in my life, I'll know that I will continue to write just because of the way that the sort of slow and steady loyalty to that practice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's really all it's taken, you know.
And yes, and again, the invitation is to connect with whatever thing that is for people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, writing, dancing, being in nature, you know, cooking. It's endless. It's the connecting to ourselves and giving that space and attention. And so, you know, on behalf of Simply Celebrate and our community and again, all the extraordinary people that we have in our world, I'm so glad they get to meet you and hear about your project and your work, and look forward to seeing the updates and meeting you in person one of these days.
Me too. Thank you.
Okay. Well, have a great trip.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for the chat. Bye-bye.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How high would you fly? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart? To your beautiful heart. La-di-da, la-di-da, la-di-da. La-di-da, la-di-da. La-di-da, 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 la-di-da.